Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Let us open up our Bibles as I read off from the screen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Verses 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Okay, so that's the end of the scripture reading. Today we are glad to have Reverend William Wan to share with us God's word, sermon title, "Being a People of God." Reverend Wan, please.
In fact, it's afternoon, 12:05. Our service starts a little later than most churches, so I usually think of Sunday morning service as a morning service, but this is a morning service that enters into the afternoon service. But I'm always glad to be here. Thank you again for having me. Today we're going to talk about being a people of God. I do not know whether you're aware, but today is also a prayer day for the persecuted church. Did you know that? I was viewing a video this morning from this organization that produced the video to pray for the persecuted church. And there are many, many Christians in the world who are still being persecuted. In this particular video, they were showing some of the people from Congo who have been persecuted. A whole village has been razed to the ground because the people refused to give up the Christian faith and be converted into some other faith. And in the video, there were two persons of Christian faith who escaped while many of their friends were actually murdered in broad daylight. They managed to escape, and they both started with a very simple statement. "I am John, and I'm a Christian. I'm Jane, and I'm a Christian." And that really touched me, because what does it mean that I am a Christian? What does it mean to be a people of God, a person of faith? And this is what 1 Peter 2 is all about. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, and we are all living stones called together to build this church of God, this nation of God, this people of God. We are called out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are Christians. I'd like you to think for a moment the word Christian. Christian has Christ right at the beginning. And then I-A-N. Some of you are familiar with I-A-N. I want to give a new twist to it. I want you to repeat I-A-N twice. Christ is all. The I-A. First time around. And I-A-N again. And I am nothing. I know some of you are familiar with the second half, "I am nothing." But before we are nothing, we must recognize that Christ is all. And I am nothing. Not that I'm of no value or no worth to God. That is not true. Jesus Christ came precisely to love us because we are all created in God's image. Even though we sin against God, God still embraces us and forgives us and shows his mercy to us and wants us to be his people. So we are not nothing in that sense, but we are nothing in that there is nothing about us that can gain us any favor from God, any salvation. As our worship leader said earlier on in prayer, we can't earn anything. We are, our righteousness are like filthy rags. trash. But thank God that out of nothing, God made us something. We are Christians. What does it mean? So I have three questions. Who we are, or who are we? And what we do, what do we do? And finally, where will we be? Three questions. And in the three questions, there are six words I want you to remember. And it's easy enough because they all start with P's. P. First P, we are a people that's been chosen. Verse 9. We are a people that have been chosen. We are a chosen people. We need to think about that. What does it mean? The second P, we are a priesthood. And we are a royal priesthood. The third word is nation, holy nation. Where does a P come from? So I change it to P because nation implies a ruler, and nation has got a king, a prince, and Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he is the ruler of this nation. So I call it principality. So we have a third P, and the last P is a possession. We are God's possession. Easy enough. And what do? We are to declare another P, the praises of God. That's the fifth P. And the sixth P is, where are we going? We receive mercy. And we are going to a place of mercy. That's another P. We receive mercy now, and there is hope for us in the future, because once we are not a people alienated from God because of sin, and the place we are going to is not to be with God. But now, we are going to be with God forever. We have a place to go to. A place of eternal mercy. The heavenly place. This world is not our home. And so these Christians have been persecuted. They were prepared to give their lives to Jesus to die rather than to renounce their faith, so that they will not betray the name of Jesus. Because they know that they can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. And they are going to be with Jesus in the place of mercy. Six P's. So let's unpack them. First of all, we are a chosen people. We often think of the chosen people as Israel. That is correct. And that's why when you look at what's happening to Israel, such a small nation, and yet the world's attention has been focused on Israel for a very long time. Today, tomorrow, Israel will still be playing a role. I'm not going to tell you whether Israel, the people of God, is right or wrong, and they could be wrong, and they were wrong. According to the Old Testament, we see them being punished by God. When they were disobedient and wrong, they were sent into captivity. And God sent prophets to warn them to do the right thing. So whatever is happening now to Israel, and there's a big debate going on whether they are doing the right thing or the wrong thing, you decide. But whatever it is, they are a chosen people, chosen by God. But the Bible also says that we are also a chosen people. We are not chosen to replace Israel. God has a purpose for Israel yet. But we are chosen to cause Israel, God's people, to be jealous, that they may turn to God one day. Isn't that what the scripture says? That we are grafted into this plant, this vine, so that we will prosper and blossom in God's care, that Israel, God's chosen, may be jealous and turn en masse to God someday. We have a purpose for God to choose us. And every morning when we get up and we thank God that we are alive, and that's what I'm doing every day, get up and thank God I'm alive. I'm still going to church. I'm still going to work. I'm still going to preach. I still have people that God will send today that I will cross path with, that I may be able to minister to them. I thank God that He has chosen me. Of all the people in the world, I am chosen by God to be a believer. And when I talk to people who have such a hard time believing, I thank God even more that why, of all people, He has chosen to give me the grace to believe. I have lots of empathy for people who have difficulty believing in God. Because if you think about it, there are many, many questions about this world with all its evil and God who is all good. And there are people who are struggling, really struggling with this belief in God. And we want to pray for them and we want to witness to them. But we want to thank God. We're all intelligent people. We have the same questions. And how does God answer those questions? How does God cause us to embrace the answer given to us by God? And what is it that other people cannot accept that? Even the ability to accept the answers from God is God's grace. We are saved by grace. Not because we are better than others, more intelligent than others, less stubborn than others. We are equally stubborn. And that's why we are chosen. It's so amazing to wake up every day and realize that I am chosen. We are chosen. We are chosen to be God's people. I am a Christian. I am a Christian because Christ is all and I am nothing and yet chosen. Then I'm called to be part of a priesthood. In the Old Testament, sin can only be forgiven when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies and offer this sacrifice so that the sin of God's people will be forgiven. Now the great high priest has come and offered himself as the great sacrifice. So we don't need to be mediated by another priest. We have all become priests ourselves. And so we have direct access to God through our prayer. We don't have to offer another sacrifice in order to see God, so to speak, to be in God's presence. We are now priests, no less. And we are royal priests. Royal because God is also king. And we belong to His kingdom. And we are priests under His command to serve Him. What do priests do? Priests mediate God's presence to His people. What do? We are called out of darkness into light so that we can mediate God's light to people around us. We are priests. We are to be the light of the world so that God may be manifested in His full glory because of our conduct, because of our belief, because of the things we do, because of the things we say, so that men and women and children anywhere and everywhere may come to have the knowledge of God. Great responsibility, my brothers and sisters. If you say, I am a Christian, then remember that you are also a priest. And therefore, we should conduct ourselves with dignity as priests. We have great expectation that God has chosen us to mediate God's presence in our lives. And we need to examine ourselves. Is God present in the way we think, in the way we do, in the way we say? And that God may be manifested. We are a royal priesthood. And verse 9 says, we are a holy nation, a principality, a nation that is for peace, because the Prince of Peace is the one who is ruling this nation. The nation, any nation, will have laws and order, And we do have the laws of God. And we are governed by all that we know in the scriptures to do the right thing, to be a nation. To be a nation that whose doors are not closed to new immigrants. We welcome new immigrants who will come in and believe in Jesus and become part of that nation. The doors are not closed. And in this nation, we have people of every nation. In this principality ruled by the Prince of Peace, where we are there for peace and not war. And all nations, all people who love peace and are seeking peace with God and with themselves are welcome to embrace Jesus Christ and become part of the citizen of our nation. And every tongue and every tribe will give praise to God. And today, I don't know whether you noticed something quite interesting. This is still one church in Singapore that's called a Chinese church, because it started off as a Chinese church. But today we have people who are not of Chinese origin worshiping here. We have just welcomed a brother who is not of Chinese origin into membership into this church. When I was in the United States and Canada, I fought a lot of elders about this particular issue. They all started the church one, two generations ago when they were immigrants and were Chinese. And they wanted to be in a comfort zone, and they have Chinese services in Cantonese and Mandarin. And then they stayed on and they reproduce and they have a new generation. And this new generation, some of them don't even speak Chinese. And they have English service. And then this new generation worked out there among the people of all colors and all races. The Americans, the Canadians. Many of them of white origin, because that's how the nation was populated in the first instance. But now more and more different people are there. And yet the church remained a Chinese church. How is that? So when people pass that church who is not of Chinese, don't think that that is a church they should belong to because it's a Chinese church. Actually, it's a church of people who may not be Chinese. We have Indonesian here. We have Indonesian. Selamat datang. Welcome, sure. So I don't want to go into this debate. I may not get invited to preach again, but you know where I'm getting at. We are a holy nation, praise God. A nation that manifests the holiness of God in all our people. A principality ruled by the Prince of Peace. We are proud to be a citizen of this nation that cuts across race and language and culture. I was just giving a guest lecture at a university yesterday, and I was talking to a professor who has been involved in the work of the Chin people in Myanmar. And the question they've been debating among themselves, in Myanmar, many of the tribes want to retain their tribal identity because they are so afraid to be absorbed into this big thing which they didn't like, and the government they didn't like. So they became even more huddled down. And the Chin, in their constitution as a Baptist church, most of them are Christians, in the constitution, I was told, I can check that out. In the constitution, it is stated that they are Christians, but they are Christians who must maintain their Chin culture. And so, when they are abroad for festival and all that, they want to dress like a real Chin with their traditional costume. Beautiful. And we have this question. Are you Christian first or are you Chin first? Are you Chinese first or are you Christian first? Are you Indian first, Indonesian first, European first, Filipino first, or are you Christian first? Good question. I'm not going to give you the answer now. You can think about it. But we are a nation made holy by the sacrifice of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. So, we're also told that we are a possession. We are a possession belonging to God, a people belonging to God, a possession. Who possesses us? There is someone out there who is the arch enemy of God, who is looking to possess us. And he possesses us by proxies. He possesses us by money, so that we are possessed by money. He possesses us by wanting to have fame, wanting to be popular. Possesses us by wanting to have power, and so power possesses us. Who possesses us? Are we God's possession? If we are, then God possesses us. Not any of these things. There should be no idols in our life. There should be nothing more important than God in our lives. And like the Congo Christians who are prepared to die for their faith, we must not be prepared to die for anything else but for God. So these are the four P's. We have the people, chosen, priesthood, that's royal, principality, that's holy, and a possession of God. So the next question is, and what are we to do? We are to declare the praises of God. That's the reason why you are left here on this earth. Otherwise, I would have thought that the moment we believe in Jesus, we should simply be taken home and live in eternity. But we are not. We are left behind. We are still here. We have a mission. And that mission is as simple and as difficult as it is. Simple because we are here to declare the praises of God. Everything that we have, everything that we succeed, everything that we do, we thank God. Some of you know that I'm back in the practice of law, and I'm with CNP Law, and 2 days ago, there was this article in the papers that named us and ranked us as number 5 best law firm in Singapore. Number 5. That's pretty good. And in our firm, we have a prayer group of partners and others, staff and so on. And the first thing we did in our chat was to say, thanks be to God. Praise God by His grace that we are number 5. We are not the biggest. For traditionally, the biggest law firms are number 1 to 10. But we are number 5. We are not big, big. We call ourselves the small, big firm. Not the big, big firm. So anything that we do in success, declare the praises of God. Even in pain, we can declare the praises of God. I was giving a talk 2 Saturdays ago, and they asked me, what drives me? What drives me? And I said, first thing that drives me is my passion. I have a passion for God. I have a passion for things that God has called me to do. I have passion in my belief. The second thing I say is positivity. I'm a very positive person. I always look at everything as half full, never half empty. There are great possibilities in God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I have another P. Sorry, I'm a P person today. And the third P surprises people. And I said, the third P is pain. I said, we shouldn't reject pain. We shouldn't go and look for pain. But when pain comes, and it comes from God, we should accept it because pain has a reason. I believe it was C.S. Lewis who said a long time ago in one of his books, that pain is a megaphone of God, warning us that something is wrong with our body, our system. That's why we have fever and so on, pain. Pain is a megaphone of God. Pain, in another sense, is also the megaphone of God. That pain reminds us of the pain of Christ being the price for us. So what's a little pain in life? The pain of betrayal. a pain of being persecuted, a pain of being misunderstood. It can be a pain of any kind, emotional, psychological. Then we accept that and we thank God for that and we learn from that and we ask ourselves, how can we be a better person as a result of the pain? A pain of rejection. It's okay. By God's grace, we can overcome it and learn from it. So let us always be full of praises, not only for blessings and blessing, quote unquote, all good things, but also for pain and for suffering and for not so good thing from this side of earth. But from God's side, it is meant for our good. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. 12:30 now. Last point. So where are we going? We are called to be all these. We are called to declare His glory. Where are we going? He says right here in verse 10, wow, once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Amen. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy. Mercy not just for this life, but mercy forever. We have a place to go, and it's a place of mercy, where there will be no more tears and no more pain. And that verse shouldn't only be read at funerals. We should remind ourselves all the time that this place is not our home. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. We are all sojourners. We are just passing through. Don't travel too heavily. Travel light. Don't accumulate, because you're not going to take any of that with you. Don't accumulate. Be contented with what God has provided and enjoy all good things God has provided day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. The manna that God provided, if you hoard them, they go bad. You can't even consume them. God has not called us to hoard anything. God has called us to be stewards of everything so that we can have as God's blessing and learn to give to bless others. And then we look forward to the place of mercy. That's my sermon for today. Three simple questions. Who are we? We are Christians. Christ is all, and we are nothing, except for God's grace that has made us something, and we want to be something for God. What do? We want to live as living praises, praising God every day, not just on Sunday, every day, for all things. They're all good because God has a purpose to let them happen to us. And finally, we're going to heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I'm gonna see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for reminding us from your word that we have so much to thank you for, to praise you for. Help us to remember always that we are Christians. We are a minority in this world. There aren't too many of us. So help us, Lord, to embrace one another with love and appreciation. And help us remember we are only passing through. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And He's waiting for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.